Please take your Bibles, and actually, I'm going to get you to turn to Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12. If you've been in church the last couple of weeks, you'll know that I've been ministering about the Ten Commandments. And in the first week, I spoke about the first and second commandment. In the second week, I talked about do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The third week, I spoke about the Sabbath. Last weekend was Mother's Day. And the next commandment that I was to speak on was honor thy father and mother. That would have been a great message to preach last weekend. So I'm praying, I'm saying, Lord, it's Pentecost Sunday, and I'm up to preaching about honor thy father and mother. Now, if you remember, I actually preached a similar message about honoring our parents on Father's Day last year in September. So as I was praying and seeking God about what I should bring today, God impressed on my heart. He said, preach about the Sabbath. What? God, I preached about that last weekend. Preach about the Sabbath. The Sabbath. We're going to talk about the Sabbath today. We're going to talk about the rest that God has for us. And that rest is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so God has orchestrated everything perfectly. And we come to this day knowing exactly what God would say to His church. So we've been calling our series the words from the fire, because when the Lord spake unto the assembly in the mount, God spoke out of the midst of the fire. Throw that first slide up there, Brother Ben. He spoke out of the midst of the fire. The Ten Commandments were spoken to Moses out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, of the thick darkness. God spoke and He gave Moses the Ten Commandments. The first commandment is have no other gods. In other words, make God the center of your life. Commandment two, have no idols. Be careful what you are worshiping. Anything that comes before God is an idol. Commandment three, don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And we learned that week that it's not just about using the name of Jesus as a curse word, and God forbid anybody would do that. But that commandment also means don't carry the name of the Lord in an empty way. Don't call yourself a Christian and live a life that's nothing like a Christian, because that's carrying His name in an empty way. Last week we talked about the Sabbath, to keep it holy. It was a command to work 6 days and to rest on the seventh. And we come today with Isaiah, a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12. And Isaiah says this. He says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. Everybody say rest. Here Isaiah is talking about stammering lips and another tongue. And he identified it. He said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. Anybody ever feel weary? Maybe somebody feels weary today. Maybe not just in your body, but in your spirit. Maybe you feel weary emotionally. Let me tell you, Isaiah prophesied that there was coming a time when people would speak with stammering lips. They would speak with another tongue. And he said that this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. But they didn't hear. So I want to go on to Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor. Everybody say weary. Everybody say tired. Everybody say burdened. All you that are weary and all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want to speak today on this fourth installment of our series, The Words from the Fire. I want to speak about the promised rest. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, I thank you for hungry hearts that are in this place. And I thank you, Lord, that where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. That, Lord, you come to bind the broken heart. You come to set the captive free. You come to break the chains that bind us of bondage and all the things in our past, oh God, and that we today can have a new start in you. We thank you, Lord, for this rest we're going to talk about today. Let our eyes be enlightened as to what you would say to the church. Lord, let our spiritual ears be open to what you would say to us as individuals. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory. And everybody say, in the name of Jesus. You may be seated, everybody. The promised rest. The promised rest. In Acts chapter 8, we read here about the evangelist Philip. Philip was a great evangelist. In fact, Philip was preaching in Samaria and he was having a great revival in Samaria. And God called him to leave Samaria where people were being healed. All sorts of things were happening. And God called him to go out into the desert because there was one. Everybody say one. Let me tell you today, God cares about the one. God can change the course of this whole service, let me tell you, for the sake of one. And so there, Philip the evangelist, he meets this nobleman from Ethiopia, the Ethiopian eunuch. And this eunuch is the treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia. He's an important man. This man's riding in his chariot and he's riding along. He's on important business. And he's in such a hurry as he's riding along in his chariot that he's reading while he's riding along in the chariot. Now, it sounds a lot like us. We probably don't read books, but as we're going along, walking through the mall, we're checking our emails, checking our text messages. If it was the Ethiopian eunuch today, he would have been riding along in his chariot. He would have been checking his tablet, you know, just checking the emails. He was busy. He was a treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia. He had a lot of work to do, and he's riding along. And then the Spirit of God comes to Philip. And he prompts Philip. He says, I want you to go alongside that Ethiopian eunuch. I want you to go up alongside him. Let me tell you, this is the plan of God. God is choreographing something right here. And what happens as the Ethiopian is at that very moment, he's reading the Bible. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. This Ethiopian eunuch, he had a hunger in his heart. Something that had led him to open up the scriptures. Something had stirred in him a wonder. Something had stirred in him a hunger. And he begins to read. He wants more. He's dissatisfied with the life that he's currently living and he wants more. And Philip arrives, everybody say, just at the right time. Philip comes just at the right time. And he, the Bible says, preaches unto him Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. He preaches to him Jesus, and then what ends up happening is there's some water. They end up going down into the water, and Philip baptizes that Ethiopian eunuch in the name of Jesus. And I believe that is what God is doing here in this church today. I believe that God has brought this moment to come to pass. You're not here by accident or coincidence. And I, like the evangelist Philip, although I would not call myself an evangelist, I come alongside you today because I know that there are people here today that need the rest. There are people here that are weary. There are people here that are in bondage. There are people here that need deliverance. And like the evangelist Philip, I want to come alongside you and I want to introduce you to the answer to all the world's problems, the answer to your problems, the answer to your bondage, and that is Jesus Christ. That is Jesus Christ. This is the day of salvation. I want to tell you today, whatever your need is, whatever your need is, comes to you when you come to Jesus. The scripture tells us that we are complete in Jesus. If you are feeling incomplete today, I tell you that we are complete in Jesus. So if you're weary, if you're heavy laden, I want to tell you that you are complete in Jesus. And when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you will find that rest that you've been looking for. You will find that inner power that is spoken of in the Bible, not to just be witnesses, but to pray and to lead and guide us into all truth. There is a rest. And so we've been working our way through the Ten Commandments. By way of background, we have been looking about how the 613 commandments in the Old Testament can be grouped into three categories. They could be grouped into the moral law, and God's moral law never changes. If God said it back then, a matter of morality, then it applies forever because God cannot change his morals. There are matters of moral law in the Old Testament. Then there's matters of civil law. There are things like today, like about you put your recycling in the yellow bin and you put your rubbish in the green bin. There are things about how society operated, matters of civil law. But then there were ceremonial laws. Everybody say ceremonial laws. And so there was these worship rituals about how they were to deal with their sin. And all of those ceremonies, all of the ceremonies were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. You see, he is the Lamb of God. He was the perfect sacrifice. No longer did they have to go through the ceremony of bringing their sacrifice and their lamb without blemish, because Jesus Christ fulfilled that. And he was the Lamb without blemish. He was our Passover lamb. He was our high priest. He was our sacrifice once and for all. And so Paul and the other Bible authors agreed that these ceremonial laws were nothing more than shadows. Everybody say shadows. They were shadows of things to come, and that was all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to the Sabbath, Paul told us that we are not to judge people according to the Sabbath. If somebody wants to worship God on a Saturday, then let them be, and let them, the Bible says, let them do it unto the Lord. Don't do it out of religiosity, but do it unto the Lord. And I'm not going to say anything against somebody who wants to worship on a Saturday. As I walk past their church and they're worshiping on a Saturday, I'm not going to think anything, because after all, I'm a type of person that also likes to worship on a Saturday and a Friday and a Thursday and a Wednesday. Is anyone else here today that likes to worship God, not just on a Sunday? A lifestyle of worship. So the New Testament tells us that we are not to give respect of days. And so there's this commandment regarding the Sabbath, that we are to keep it holy. It was a matter of ceremonial law. God said the Sabbath, very clearly he said the Sabbath was a sign between himself and a specific group of people called the Israelites. We don't see Adam and Eve observing a Sabbath. We don't see the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We don't see them observing a Sabbath. In fact, for 2,500 years of mankind's history, there was a notable silence when it came to keeping the Sabbath. Jesus in the New Testament doesn't instruct us on how to keep the Sabbath or keeping the Sabbath. In fact, even Jesus himself, who was a Jew, he broke the Sabbath. We read that the time when there was the impotent man, the Bible says that Jesus told him to take up his bed and walk. And it was on the Sabbath. And if you know anything about the Sabbath, they weren't allowed to carry anything on the Sabbath. Jesus walks up to this man and he tells him, he says, take up your bed and walk. The Sabbath was not introduced until the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery, out of being treated like machines and animals. And they came out of Egypt and God said to them, he said, I'm giving you a Sabbath. You were in Egypt, you were in bondage, you were in slavery, you were treated nothing more than a machine or an animal, you were whipped, and God said, you have come out of Egypt, and I'm going to give you a day of rest. How many people know that God is in the business of taking us out of something and bringing us to something better? God delivered them out of Egypt, and he gave them rest. You see, where they had no rest, they were treated with no value, and God said, I'm going to give you rest. So if you've been following over the last couple of weeks, given that the Sabbath is a ceremonial matter, and given the ceremonial laws were all fulfilled in the New Testament, then what is the fulfillment of the Sabbath? In Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, it'll be on the screen. It says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. Let no man judge you in respect of a holy day or the new moons or the Sabbath. He said, all of these ceremonial things, they are a shadow of things to come. And Paul tells us what that is to come. They are a shadow, but the body is of Christ. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the shadow. And we talked about how when I got married to my wife, Melanie, that she didn't fall in love with my shadow. She wasn't happy with the shadow, but she was waiting for the body to come. Okay? I'm a pretty good shadow as well. But she was waiting for the body, which is of Christ. And it was all fulfilled in Jesus. So here we know that it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. When we are baptized in Jesus' name, the Bible says in Galatians that we are baptized into Jesus. And our sins are washed away. When we are filled with His Holy Spirit, we are filled with the same Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. Baptism puts me in Christ, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit puts Christ in me. The new birth. And so when we enter into that New Testament rest, when we are filled with the Spirit, when we take on His name, that is the fulfillment of the Sabbath in the Old Testament, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so today is Pentecost Sunday. Some may say that there's no need to celebrate Pentecost. In fact, I think the Pentecostal church should celebrate it better than anyone else. I drove past some churches around with the big steeples and big bricks and all that sort of stuff, and they're celebrating Pentecost, and they don't even believe in the Holy Spirit. But I believe we should. In fact, in the Bible, we read that the Apostle Paul and his early disciples, they placed a significance on the day of Pentecost. During his third missionary journey, Paul, he said, I am hurried, in Acts 20, verse 16, he said, I'm hurrying to reach Jerusalem so that I can be there for the Pentecost. I want to be there. And he told the Corinthian church that he was going to stay in Ephesus until Pentecost came. And so there was an importance of the disciples, and so it should be important in our life as well. So the Sabbath was a ceremonial law, and it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And when we are filled with His Spirit, Isaiah said, he said it like this. He said, for with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to His people, to whom He said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. And so Pentecost was a feast before it became an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was on the same day of that feast that the Holy Spirit was poured out. But Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it starts out and says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. You see, they had observed the feast of Pentecost for a long time, but the day of Pentecost fully came. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody say the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues. That sounds like what Isaiah prophesied about, as the Spirit gave the utterance. And so that is the day when Pentecost was fully come. It was fulfilled on that day when the Holy Spirit was poured out. You see, later in Acts chapter 2, if you read, they all went out on the street and they're speaking in tongues. And everybody hadn't seen it before. They come and they say, you know what? I think these people are drunk. But they said, no, no, no. These people are not drunk, but this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. What did Joel prophesy? Joel said that that God's Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. And then they're saying, what on earth is this speaking in tongues? And they said, this is what was prophesied by Joel. This is the fulfillment of what was prophesied by Joel. This is the fulfillment of what was also prophesied by Isaiah. And so Peter linked speaking in tongues with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah said that this stammering lips and this other tongue is the rest. Everybody say the rest. So on this Pentecost Sunday, I want to tell you that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not a Sabbath of rest just one day per week, But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can enter into the rest of God. Not just one day a week, not just 1.5 hours a week, but I tell you, you can enter into the rest 24 hours, 7 days a week, because this Holy Spirit is the promised rest of God. You can find rest for your soul when you're filled with the Spirit. And so just as the physical Sabbath, up to slide 9 there, provided a physical rest for Israel, it provided a sanctification for the children of Israel. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ provides spiritual rest and sanctification for the church, for the body of believers that are filled with the Spirit under the new covenant. And so in the Old Testament, they were told on the Sabbath that they were not allowed to carry a burden. When in the New Testament we read that what we're meant to do with our burdens, Jesus says, cast all your cares. Cast your burden, cast your cares upon me, and I will give you rest. And so Hebrews 4 verse 9, we read it a few weeks ago. Hebrews 4 verse 9, you might like to write that scripture down, because the scripture says in Hebrews, it says, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. I know that there are people here today that are stressed up to here. You've had so much going on in your life. You're running to and fro like a buzzing bee, just buzzing around, just keeping busy, maybe a busybody. I don't know. But you've been running around, you're stressed, you're up to your eyeballs in stress. Let me tell you, we can't escape busyness, we have to work. But let me tell you, there remains a rest for your soul for the people of God. There remains a rest for the people of God. And so if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, I want to tell you that that is the rest. You can be born again. All things passed away and all things become new. Everybody say praise the Lord. And so when God finished creating the earth, he did it for 6 days. When he finished on the seventh, he looked at it. He says, it's finished. And he rested from his labors. Everybody say 7. Now, I'm not a preacher that preaches about numerology, but I do know one thing about the number 7 is that it is a number that signifies completion. Completion. Everybody say complete. In fact, right from the start of the Bible, the number 7 identified something being finished or complete. Let me tell you, when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you receive the Spirit of Jesus Christ dwelling inside of you, and you become complete. Everybody say complete. You enter into that rest. In fact, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 9, it says it like this. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, everybody say, walk in him. You receive Jesus Christ, and you got to keep walking in him. You've got to root yourself, the roots down into him. He's the rock, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. But beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Beware of people that would spoil you through vain deceit, after traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him, who's it speaking of? Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete. Everybody say complete. You're complete in him because Jesus is the head of all principality and power. That is complete. So just like God on the seventh day, he rested. Let me tell you, on your Sabbath day, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you become complete in Jesus. Paul used the word complete here, but he also used another word for the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. He used the word sealed. Everybody say sealed. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, it says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after which you have believed, you were sealed, everybody say sealed, with the Holy Spirit of promise. You see, you become complete when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, please put the slides up, please. We're up to number 12, Brother Joel. Now, he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Everybody say sealed. See, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are complete in Jesus. You enter into that rest. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. This is the rest where the weary will find rest. And this is the refreshing. I tell you today, it's Pentecost Sunday. There is a rest for the people of God. Amen. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Jesus invited them. He said, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find, everybody say, rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I tell you, as a preacher of the gospel today, you were never meant to live this life without the power of the Holy Spirit. I know there's people here today, you can testify that you can't do this in your own strength. You've tried, you had good ideas, you went and got help from the right people. Yeah, all of that stuff, but still, you couldn't find your way. Let me tell you, this life was never meant to be lived without the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter, when he spoke about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, he would never have dreamed that in the year 2016 that there would be a Christianity that would divide itself up into Pentecostal and non-Pentecostal. Because when Peter spoke, he spoke to all Christians and he said, the promise is unto you and to your children and to your children's children and to all that are afar off. This promise of the Holy Spirit is for everybody. This rest is for everybody. It's for the people of God, as Hebrews says. And so, the disciples would never have believed that there would be people that say that the Holy Spirit's not for today. You see, there is no more condemnation for those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. There is a rest. And so, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, I tell you that this is a promise for every believer. The Bible says it. And if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit and you are dry today, maybe you're going through a desert time or a dry spot in your life, I want to tell you, you can be refreshed today because this is the refreshing where the weary can find rest. Maybe God is nudging you today, nudging you in your spirit, and he's saying, come on, I'm nudging you today. You're in my house. I want to tell you, come unto me and you will find rest. It's time to stop struggling in your own strength. Come on, my child, come unto me and you will find rest. Surrender to me and you will find that rest. Flip over from Acts chapter 2, which we love so much. We go to Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. It's going to be on the screen. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. There is a rest for the people of God. When Jesus walked the earth, he did many amazing things. Miracles, signs, wonders. People were delivered. People were healed. He turned the water into wine. He went to the cross. He went to the grave and he rose again. But let me tell you, he didn't give them a rest. He didn't give them a rest, but he said in John chapter 14, he said, I will go, but I'm going to send the comforter. He said, Jesus clarified who that comforter was in John 14. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. He said, I will come to you. He said, when I'm out of here, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit and it's going to be a comforter. It's going to bring the rest that you've been looking for. And on the day of Pentecost, that comforter came, that rest came, and it fell upon all of them. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. With stammering lips and another tongue, this is the rest. To receive the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people here that have received the Holy Spirit speaking in other tongues, as the Bible talks about. But if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, it's simply about pointing your vessel. Everybody say, my vessel. Pointing your vessel in the right direction. Pointing your vessel towards God and saying, God, I surrender myself to you. I surrender myself to you. And you might notice, if you're new around here, that we like to raise our hands. Raising of the hands, it's no coincidence that when people are surrendering in the world, when the gunman comes in, they raise their hands. Because the raising of hands is the universal sign of surrender. And so when we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we point our vessel towards God, we point our direction towards God, and we raise our hands in surrender. We lift up our hands, and we don't just lift our hands, but then we begin to start worshiping God. We start praising God, and we begin to fill our vessel with praise. We begin to fill our vessel with worship, and you begin to tell God about how great he is. You begin to tell God how magnificent he is. But you know what? Doesn't matter how many times we tell God he's great, our words, if the musicians could come, our words are not enough to express how great God is. We can tell God that he is magnificent, but our words are not enough to express how magnificent our God is. Because God's been more than good. He's been more than great. He's been more than magnificent. And so we begin to profess that with our mouth. We tell Jesus that he's beautiful, but he's so much more beautiful than just beautiful. He's much more than we could ever say with our mouth. And so with our vessel pointed in the right direction, with our hands raised to him in surrender, we begin to fill our vessel with praise. And when you begin to praise him, your vessel begins to overflow, and you no longer can use those English words to express the greatness of God. You no longer use those English words to profess the magnificence of God. You no longer use those words to express how much you love him, but you begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance, and the Spirit begins to make intercession for us. The Spirit begins to pray on our behalf. And when you're filled with the Spirit of God comes down and you enter into that rest. Yes, you're filled with the Spirit, but you leave this place not just filled with the Spirit, but you can walk in the Spirit. Because there is no condemnation. The devil comes to you and he starts putting you down. He says, you can't make it. You ought to give up. You ought to just give in to those addictions. You ought to just give in to that bondage. You ought to just give in to what everybody's telling you about how God's not real and you can't trust God. You ought to just give up. But just something inside your spirit says, I'm not going to be condemned. I'm not going to give up. Because there is no condemnation for people that walk after the Spirit. The Bible says that the carnal thinking brings death. But when we dwell in the Spirit, it brings life. I tell you today, on this day, there is a rest for the people of God. Let's all stand across this place right now. Somebody here right now needs to point their vessel in the right direction. You need to stop thinking about who's next to you. You need to stop thinking about what's been going on and what you're having for lunch, and just point your vessel towards him and say, God, I need that rest. I can't do it on my own strength anymore. I need to enter into the rest of God. This altar is open. Somebody here, you got to come and bow your knee before God. You got to come and say, God, I got to get my life right with you again. I need that rest. I need that power of God inside of me to help me live for you, God. Somebody, it's going to be harder to go out and try to keep doing in your own strength. I know it's hard to walk to an altar, but it's a lot harder to try and do this in your own strength. God wants to fill somebody here today with the Holy Spirit. He wants to refresh somebody here with the Holy Spirit. There is a rest for the people of God. point your vessel in the right direction. Lift your hands and start surrendering to God. Start telling Him how much you love Him. And when that vessel is full, it's going to begin to overflow with praise. It's going to overflow with worship unto God. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Come on, just bow your knee to the Lord. There's plenty of room right over here. There's plenty of room to get on.